never know what you're going to get when God opens me up. Sometimes I can be real quiet, intense, and sometimes it's you just never know. And I never know either. That's the whole excitement of it. I never know either what God's going to bring out. And I, you know, like Nancy said, we all study. We all, you know, prepare ourselves, have our notes, go over this stuff again and again and again, pray about it, pray about those that are going to be in our workshop. But when it comes right down to it, it's follow the flow of the Holy Spirit. He determines the course of our workshop, you know, because he ministers to your needs. And this workshop will be as good for you as your hunger to hear what God has put in us workshop speakers. It's your hunger, any of you here, which probably most or all, or biggest part of you are in any type of ministry at all, it's the hunger in God's people that pulls the anointing out of the person doing the speaking. I hope you're hungry, because the great thing about being a speaker is that as you pull on it, God told me one time that I was a pipeline and there would be a flow to many, but that he would coat the pipeline as it flowed out. So the more you pull on me, the more I reap, because I get coated more on inside. So this is a partnership. We're going to partner together. It's going to flow out of me, and as you pull it out of me, I'm going to get coated, and we're all going to be a whole lot better when we leave out of here. Okay, the sound of God's right standing. Father, Lord, I want to thank you, and I want to praise you, Lord, because you're worthy of all praise. You are our creator, Lord. You are the great I am, Lord. You are immense and magnificent. And Lord, if I ever doubted it, which I didn't, Lord, just seeing the mountains that you've created in this great state of Alaska, Lord, just awe inspires me, Lord. And seeing the faces of the many people, Lord God, that you've populated this whole state with and those I've come in contact with is just an amazing thing to me, Lord. Your creativity is beyond measure, Lord Father God. Your immensity is beyond belief, Lord Father. But Lord, we are so grateful, and I am particularly grateful that you dwell in my heart and in the hearts of my brothers and sisters here. Holy Spirit, I just welcome you. I welcome you. I'm a yielded vessel to you today. And just flow through me in the way that you desire, Lord. It's your will and not mine, Lord. Feed your people, Lord. Whatever the need is here, Lord, may something that you give me to say resonate within them, Lord God. Strike a chord within them, and may they vibrate with a new life of revelation for their life and their destiny, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, and I praise you, Most High God, and Jesus, your King, and I love you so much. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the sound of God's right standing. The first thing that we have to establish is God stands right. You got my phone? No, here it is. God stands right. That's the first thing we have to establish, because if God doesn't always stand right, then we can't stand on this word. And this is something, especially when I first got saved, well, for a lot of years, whenever I would stand on the Word of God, I would read it, proclaim it, and stand on the Word of God. And I'd stand sometimes for hours here just proclaiming the Word of God. And you might say, well, that's really kind of dumb, that's really kind of foolish. But God is very action-oriented. He's not a passive God. He's very action-oriented. Right now, he's in the process of creating. We're not his only creation. He's creating immensely. You know, scientists and astronomers, you know, are looking out and seeing the expanse of the universe, and they're discovering new things, and they're going, wow, when are we going to get to the end? Well, they're not ever going to get to the end. One time, years ago, I was talking to God. I said, you know, God, you know, I love to worship you, and I love to be in your presence, but to be honest with you, Father, isn't it going to get a little boring after about the first 10,000 years of just praise God, Lord, we worship you? You know, I mean, I was just being honest. You know, I don't believe in, you know, God already knows what I think, so there's no sense in me hiding and pretending that he doesn't know. He knows my thoughts. So I just told him that, and he showed me a vision, and I saw the throne, the side of it, and back behind the throne, there was an expanse of the universe, and he said, you will never cease to learn about me. God will never end. For from ever on, we will be learning a new aspect of our Father. It will never end. We'll never get to the place where, well, we've seen all of heaven and we know all of God. It ain't going to happen, and that blows our finite minds. How is that possible? I don't know, but that's why he is God and you and me aren't. Because he has a mind that created our minds. And you look at what man creates. I mean, you know what blows me out of the mind? The infrastructure in our road systems to get us from one place to the other. That blows me away. I rode in an airplane for the first time up here. And man, that is just blowing me away. I'm like, oh, God, I'm glad there's angels, but God, I'm glad you gave man the ability and the knowledge to create these engines. I'm glad for this stuff, Lord. And you know, science says that we only use about 20% of our brain capacity. So that means that man himself, in the way that God has created it, has 80% already of wisdom and creativity of the Almighty God already within us, before he's even born again, already within him, that we've never even tapped into. Whew. So God is God. And I want to read you a scripture. And it's in Psalms. My bookmarker out now. I gotta find it. It's Psalms 30. Hold on, it's coming. 33. I'm gonna read 4 through 11. And I'm gonna read it in the Living Bible because I love the way it puts it. Remember, we're establishing that God stands right. That's our first. This is our foundation. Everything else builds upon God's word is true, and let every man be a liar. Okay? For all God's words are right, and everything he does is worthy of our trust. He merely spoke, and the heavens were formed, and all the galaxies of stars. He made the oceans, pouring them into his vast reservoirs. Let everyone in all the world, men, women, and children, fear the Lord and stand in awe of him. For when he but spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command, and with a breath, he can scatter the plans of all the nations who oppose him. You just think of that. You got a problem, sister? You got any problem in your life? You got any problem? Any problem? Any kind of problem in your life? Uh-huh. This is God going, give it to me. There it goes. Amen. So you take any problem. I don't care whether it's health. I don't care whether it's finances. I don't care whether it's relational. I don't care what your problem is. You put it in his, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You put it in his hands, and he just goes, let me show you what I do with it. That's our God. That's the God that lives in each. You are such a very special man. John, right? May I put my hand on your chest? May you remove your sunglasses? I don't want to scratch. You're such a very blessed, special man. I don't know anything about you. I've never met you before. But you are just a magnet, and you are just pulling, and you are just hungry, and you are just filled to overflowing, and you are sent to many people, whether you realize it or believe it or not. I don't know your situation, but you are special in the eyes of our Father, and I want you to realize that right now. And you just pull on what the Lord's going to pour out in here, because it's all him and it's not me, and you take it for yourself, okay? Mm-hmm. God's going to reveal something special to you, maybe through these meetings, I'm not sure, but you got something special, and God's going to even confirm some things for you, okay? Okay, see, that's what hunger does. When we're hungry, it pulls out of whoever's up here. If you're up here and I'm back there and I'm hungry, you're going to be doing that to me in some way, shape, or form. Maybe not identical, but that's what I'm saying. You know, some of us as God's people, some of us are quiet. And that's great because that's how God wants you to be. That's how he created you. Not everybody can handle me. I scare some folks. You know, I was in a church setting one time, and man, I just scratched my head and I said, God, people think I'm so strange. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're not strange to me. And that was so comforting. And there's been times I've been in some situations, and man, I've done some prophetic act, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I just made a total idiot of myself, Lord. Oh, God, I must have missed it, Lord. And you know what he does invariably? He sends someone to me before I get out the door that says, don't quit doing what you're doing because it's the right thing. Don't quit coming when even nobody comes with you. Don't sit back and don't consider yourself unimportant because you are special and you are anointed by the Most High God. You are the daughter of a king. And it doesn't matter your age because you have many years yet ahead of you, and you just grasp hold of that and you just do every little thing he gives to you to do because it's in the little things that you glorify our Father. It's in the tiny things that you think is so insignificant, but you just have a joy in doing it and you release so much of the kingdom just through those little things. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. God stands right, and every man a liar. Okay. So do you believe God stands right and every man's a liar? Do you believe God's word? Do you believe that whatever God tells you is going to happen just like God said it was going to happen? Do you believe that? Okay. God stands true and every man a liar. And that's what we have to hold on to, because I'll tell you, when God gives you a word, the first thing that happens is the enemy comes to see if he can get us to turn loose of it. That's the very first thing. It's the parable of the seed sown. Remember, seeds were sown. And immediately, here comes the birds of the air, which represents the enemy, to snatch them away. Immediately. And we have four categories of attempts. So this means you're going to be tested four times, perhaps, over that destiny, that anointing, that promise, that calling, whatever God's put on your life, whatever you're believing God for right now. There might be as high as four attempts. But on the fourth time, the seed took root, and the sun couldn't scorch it, and the cares of life couldn't crush it out, and it became fruitful. And it produced 30 or 60 or 100. And you know, I often wondered, I thought, why 30, why 60, why 100? What is the difference? Are we just destined for 30? Some of us, God says, well, you know, I'll just let your seed produce 30%. I mean, you're important, but, you know, she's going to do 60. And, well, this one here is going to do 100.
Okay.
No. Why God says that is he knows his children. How many of you have children? Okay, so you know that if you have more than one child, you've got two completely separate human beings that are sometimes, most of the time, completely opposites. My daughter was born a messy. I mean, you know, she's just born a messy. She's a messy who has lived with a very organized mama. So sometimes we have clashed dads. Our son is like me, though. He's organized and everything like that. But you know what? I don't love him any differently. And my daughter, even though she's a messy, she has a depth of wisdom to be 20, soon to be 29 years old, that will blow your mind. She doesn't talk a lot. These girls know her. She doesn't talk a lot. And you'd think she's not even paying attention. But when push comes to shove, she will speak out something. And when she talks, this mama shuts up, sat down, and listens to what my daughter has to say, because she comes out with wisdom. Now, my son is like me. He talks all the time. I mean, he just talks all the time. He talks in his sleep. He talks all the time. He talks all the time, you know? But my son and me cannot affect the people that my daughter can affect, because my daughter's very quiet. And as I said, there's people who are not going to relate to me, but they'll relate to her. But back to the 30, 60, 100, why the difference? Hunger and desire. You know the difference between a good pianist and a concert pianist? Time. Practice. That's the only difference. If you can play the piano, you can become a concert pianist if you desire it enough to lay down everything else and be focused enough to pursue nothing but the piano. You can become a concert pianist. But what are we? Sometimes we're not that hungry. We want to play the piano, but playing the piano is okay. We're fine with that. That's all we desire, and that's fine. Is that bad? No, that's just all you desire. God's not going, oh, you only desired 30. I'm really disappointing you. God's never disappointed with us. Even when we say, no, Dad, I'm not doing that, he's not disappointed with us. Have you ever had a little two-year-old go, no? No. Yeah. Have you ever had your 12-year-old go, no, I don't want to clean my room. I don't want to do that. Oh, but you will. You'll do it. Now, a lot of people think, well, Mom and Dad's going to be mean, and Daddy's going to come along. No, 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 no. You take enough privileges away from them, and they're like, what can I do to get out of the house? What can I do to watch TV? What can I do to have my laptop back? What can I do to have the keys to the car? They'd be willing to do anything, because the things that made them feel happy are suddenly missing. That's how Daddy causes us to grow. He doesn't hurt us. He doesn't harm us. But all of a sudden, the stuff that used to bring us joy, maybe it's a relationship, a friendship. This friend that you've had for years all of a sudden moves across the state and you can't see him all the time. Maybe it's your job. Maybe you're a workaholic. Man, I gotta have a better house. I gotta make all the money I can make. And then all of a sudden you get the pink slip that you're laid off. Now, does God cause that to happen? No, but he allows it to happen. Does he do it because he's mad at us? No, he allows it to happen so that he can cause us to be so desperate for that which satisfies that we willingly will closet ourselves away in some way, shape, or form and begin to seek his face and begin to let the hunger rise. The hunger is a result of the Holy Spirit within us, because the Holy Spirit within us is the one who cries out, Abba, Father, through us. Holy Ghost lives within us. He's always desiring to commune with Father God because he is God, and they all connect. Jesus, Father, and God, Son, and God, the Holy Spirit cannot be separated. They always want to hang out together. And when we close down and don't let Holy Spirit move, you know what? He just grieves. Because he wants to be connected, take us into connection with our Father 24/7. So if we want to be 30%ers, God loves us, we die, we go to heaven, we have a good life, he answers our prayers and everything, but we look at the Nancy Haney's of the world and we go, wow, how can you be like that? Sacrificing everything else. She didn't just want to be a pianist, she wanted to be a concert pianist. Not to show off and say, look at me, but because she said, Daddy, nothing else satisfies but you. Nothing else satisfies you. Lord, I don't want to do anything else. I just want to play the piano. Well, that's all I want to do is play the piano. Play the piano. Lord, that brings me the greatest joy on planet Earth. So she has laid everything else down. Okay? It doesn't make her special. It makes her hungry. You know? Okay. Is this making any sense to anybody? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we've established that God is in right standing. The second thing that we must establish is that there has been a death. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There has been a death. Not just Jesus' death, but we died when he died. When we accepted that fact, we became born again. See, in reality, everybody is already saved. Let me finish this statement. Everybody who has ever been born has already been saved. They just don't know it. But you have to know it to get it. It's just like if I had a gift, I had this gift, and I purchased one for everybody. Everybody, it's your gift. And I tell you, hey, you got a gift up there, but you never bother to go and take it and open it up and make it your own, is it ever really your gift? Is it always going to be yours to take if you ever decide to take it? That is salvation. That's what salvation is. It's bringing people to the knowledge of the truth that they have been saved through Jesus Christ, just accept it as your salvation. That's salvation right there. That is what we do to get people saved. We don't convince people, oh, you're just such a dirty, foul sinner, and you're headed to hell. No, Jesus canceled all that. He wiped it away for all who will. Just take the free gift and make it yours, okay? So there's been a death. Some of you say, yeah, but you don't know what I've done since I've been born again. You don't understand how I've messed it up since I accepted the gift. Since I accepted this, the day I accepted this gift and washed away, what did you feel like when you got saved? I mean, what experience did you have? I mean, did you have a feeling? Did you feel like weight lifted off? Well, what transpired within you that let you knew you'd been born again?
I changed bad habits.
Okay.
I stopped doing bad things.
You had a change of personality even, of desires,
yes,
and things.
Happiness.
Yes,
joy.
Things change. And you feel wonderful. And then all of a sudden, you commit your first sin. 2 hours, 2 minutes, 2 days, 2 weeks. I mean, known sin. You're like, oh, dear God, I've lost my salvation. You remember those days? Okay. Not true. Because, let me clarify this. Once saved, always saved if you hold on to that salvation. Did you get that? Hear what I'm saying. Once saved, always saved if you believe that to be true. You have to hold on to it. You have to accept that salvation. I'm not preaching once in grace, always in grace. Don't walk out of here and say that. That's not what I said. I said once saved, always saved, if you hold on to that fact. Okay? You, be it unto you according to your faith. We believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we confess that fact with our mouth. Okay? All right. Is everybody clear on that? All right. So you've if you're like me, you've got yourself in a mess after you got born again several times. And you just feel beat down. You just feel discouraged, beat down. And you've had a great call in your life. I mean, maybe you were called into to public ministry. Maybe you're called into being an intercessor. Maybe you're called into to ministry of helps, you know. Whatever your calling is, you know, whatever it is, and you feel like, oh, dear God, I've messed it all up. I've screwed it all up. Oh, God, I just end up in a divorce. Well, there goes the call in my life. I've screwed that up. Oh, God, my children have become drug addicts and prostitutes. Boy, I screwed that one all up. God can't use me now. Lie. They tore Jesus down to where a fly couldn't light upon him. And look who he is. Never changed his destiny. Never once changed his destiny. Because they were speaking that which was not true about our Lord. Yes, Paul said that we're not to sin, but if we do, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's one thing, there's something I want you to understand. You have died in Christ. This morning, when you woke up and said, Abba, Father, I love you. And if he brought anything to your remembrance, I had to go confess yesterday to her. Because she said something, and I painted it up this nice rosy picture, and the Holy Spirit's going, uh-uh. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm getting ready to minister, and I just lied. Not on purpose. I didn't intend to. But I didn't want her to realize that I had really did what she said I did, like, she, you know. And then she was busy, and I was in absolute, like, oh, dear God. And I kept looking through the windows. Is she done? And as soon as she got done, I ran to her, and, you know, forgive me. I painted that in a wrong. Did God withdraw from me? Did God say, well, you can't minister in this conference. You just screwed it up. No, he just said, I know your heart. I know you've repented. You've recognized stepping out of my way, and you've chosen to step back in. I'll make the opportunity for you to make it right with her. It's okay. And it was okay. We got this liar. He's this little bitty. And he inflates himself with all these hot air to make him look gigantic. But it's just hot air. And you know how to bust his bubble? God said. That's how you bust the Satan. Because the Bible tells us that when we see him, we'll go, is that the one that caused all this trouble on earth? I'm paraphrasing. Is that the one? He's not. He's not this thing, this individual, this creation that he tries to tell us he is. He is a defeated foe. He is a defeated foe. So we must take, remember, what does the Bible tell us about the word? It says that it is a sword. The only offensive weapon we have is our word. That is how we shut the mouths of lions. That's how we get out of difficult situations. We take the word and we poke the hot air out of the lying spirit that comes to tell us a deception. Because all the power that Satan has is the power you and I give him through agreement. That's the only power he has. He cannot do anything in Jesus' name. He cannot cross a blood line. He comes to scare us. He stands outside of the blood of Christ and he says, whatever it is, oh, terrible things are going to happen. Oh, you're going to die. You're going to lose your job. Your spouse is going to leave you. Your church is going to fall apart. Terrible things are headed your way. But he's outside the bloodline. How does he get in? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My husband's going to leave. Oh, God. What are they going to do? Oh, honey, you think I'm going to get laid off? And as soon as we agree with that, as soon as we let it in, he steps across the bloodline and he said, You open the breach. So understand that principle. Our words are powerful because our words are the Word of God because we have the mind of Christ. And if we meditate in the Word of God, when situations arise, that is what will come out of us because the Holy Spirit will bring that forth out of us, okay? Okay, there's been a death. And he's cast our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. See, when Christ hung on Calvary, he already knew the sins that you and I would commit, even after we were saved. He knew what you and I would do, and he already forgave them there. We just have to accept that forgiveness when he brings it to our remembrance, and like he did with me and Beth, and I had to go, and we just put ourselves in agreement with that. Yes, Lord, you did die for that. Forgive me. Then we receive the blood, okay? Okay, now the third thing that we have to establish, and this should be really exciting for you because this is about your destiny in Christ. You are, every one of you here, important people. I know we come to these things and we hear speakers, we hear Nancy say that, and some of us believe it and some of us go, that's just a standard line. No, it's not the standard line. I'm telling you, it's not the standard line. All right? There's been a birth. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are a new creation filled with God. Colossians 1 and 10 says, and you are in him, Christ, made full. You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're filled with God. We are his hands, we're his feet, we're his mouth, we're his body. We are Christ in the earth. You represent Jesus to somebody. You represent Jesus to somebody. You represent Jesus to somebody. You represent Jesus to somebody that you come in contact with. And God is calling us to do things, and we oftentimes disqualify ourselves, but God has already qualified us when he created us, because he said, I have thoughts and plans for you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You and I are qualified in Christ to do exploits. Our position here on earth is we represent Christ. He was presented over 2,000 years ago. And who did he present? His Father. Yes, he presented his Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He presented the Father to us. When he went to heaven, he left us his body, and we are to represent him to the earth, walk as Christ did, and in that, they'll come in contact with God. Remember what Paul said. Paul said, if you be followers of me, you'll no wise miss the kingdom of heaven. Now, some people, religious people, will say, oh, he's equating himself with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, I'm equating myself with Jesus Christ. Because of me? No, because he lives in me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, you know, he lives in me. He lives in each and every one of us that's been born again. We are Christ. We are Jesus in the flesh. We are a part of Jesus. You know, I couldn't understand. For a while there, I could get off alone by the Lord and just have these awesome experiences with God, just awesome experiences. And it was wonderful. And then the days started coming when I quit having those experiences by myself, and I got dissatisfied. You know, I just thought, you know, Lord, why didn't I feel your presence like I used to? What have I done? And he said, I will not allow you to prosper apart from my body. Now, understand, I was going to church. That wasn't what he was saying. He was saying is there are some experiences that after he gives us a taste of his presence, then he says, I need to connect you to the part of the body that I created you to be connected to. And it's through that connection that I'm going to flow through all of you and represent my son to society around you, that they too might be born again and be connected into the body. And thus, my kingdom's going to come on earth as it is in heaven. You see what I'm saying? So it's so important that we realize our place. Okay. I don't know if I can get across to you how vitally important everybody is here. I want you to be sincerely honest. I don't want you to be churchy religious. I don't want you to be ashamed and afraid and embarrassed. See, we hide. We don't want people to know that we have doubts or fears or that we feel insignificant and useless. We want to present ourselves like all the other people who look like they brought it all together. But the fact of the matter is probably a good 90% of us right here have a little piece of ourselves that doesn't feel together at some point or the other. I do. You see, I'm a former wallflower.
Really?
I'm a wallflower formally. What does that mean? That means that if there was more than one person around, I found this was where I would be, in a setting like this, as hidden as I could possibly be, and as small as I could make myself. And if I had to come out amongst people in any capacity, I would make myself as small as I could make myself so that I could not be seen. And I couldn't talk. I mean, I could talk, but I couldn't talk to people. Because I was born into a situation where women were less than men. And I'm not saying that any man here feels that way. I'm just saying that was my situation I was born into. My father's a wonderful man of God, loves the Lord, but the background he was raised in, women were the weaker vessel, and the husband was the Lord and master of the woman, or the father was the Lord and master of the children. And he was not mean. He was not hateful. It was nothing like that. He informed me that when he passed away, he would leave the bulk of his possessions to my brother because my brother would have to provide a home for his family and I would eventually marry and be provided for. But he was taught that and he believed that. So, and then another issue that I had was I was an overweight kid and my mama was your size all her life. You know, and she meant well because she didn't want me to be shackled with anything that would make me feel inferior. But I happened to have a German grandma and a great-grandma of, I'm not sure what her ancestry was, but my great-grandma was short and my German grandma was wide. And when you put short and wide together, well, you know. When you put short and wide together, this is what you get. So anyhow, I had this inferiority from my father. Because I was a female, I had this inferiority from my mother because I wasn't the size that I was supposed to be. So here I'm coming into life with these two inferiorities. But I had a great call on my life. I was the type of kid that caught people's attention, not meaning to. And that's what was scary when you want to hide and people are being drawn to you and you want to hide. That's a scary situation. But see, that was the call and the destiny that was on my life. But you see, Satan had already conspired to throw obstacles in my path from becoming who God created me to be. And I want you to understand something. I'm still a work in progress. Thank God I'm a work in progress. there's still more destiny out there for me to walk out. You know? But I want you to understand, things have conspired against some of you here, perhaps, on your call in your life. It could be physical like mine. It could be, you know, something from your parents. It could be something from your husband. It could be something from society itself. You know, oh, mental illness. Oh, God forbid that you should have any type of a mental illness. Bipolar, schizophrenic, manic, depressive. Oh, God, what's wrong with you? Get your act together. No! Do we say that to someone who has an ulcer and needs to go take medication for the ulcer to keep it from acting up? No! It is a disability sent by the enemy to stop us in our destiny. I say anybody who has a mental illness is somebody probably prophetic that God wants to use greatly, and Satan wants to stop the flow. There are no disabled spirits. We might live in some disabled bodies with maybe some diminished mental capacities. I don't care if you've had ADHD. I don't care if dyslexia. I don't care if you were in the what they considered when I was a kid, the retard section of school because you were stolen. I don't care. Put that behind you. Your spirit is perfect in every way, lacking nothing because you're filled with the fullness of God right now. And let me tell you, God's not waiting till your outside becomes perfect before he's going to use you. He uses you the moment that you accept his son into your life. You are then on a mission by the Father sent to a world who needs to know he's real and that he loves them. The day after I got born again on a Saturday night. And on Monday morning it was raining and I was 15 years old and I went to high school. And my best friend, pouring down the rain, had to walk through the rain, you know, miserable conditions. And I was walking down the hall, and I wasn't doing or saying anything. I was just walking down the hall. She looks at me, and she says, what happened to you over the weekend? You look so different. And I just piped up and said, I got saved. And I had no idea that people didn't know what getting saved meant. You know, that was an experience. But from that moment, I was a proclaimer of the good news. I got saved! You can too! And that was a whole different quandary, because her mother was an atheist. Her stepfather was a Jew who didn't believe in Christ. Her father was into spiritualism, and he took his nightly rides out of his body every night and had glow stickers on his trailer so he'd get back into the right body before morning came. And this is my best friend in high school, and I have to explain to her about salvation, and I'm 15 years old. But you know what? She did come to Christ. And then she had doubts, and she's like, oh, you know, I'm just a little. And I told her, I said, God can handle your doubts. Have you ever wondered if he's really real? Oh, God forbid. Oh, Saber, you just said you committed the unpardonable religious sin right there because you just put, is there. I confess to you, I went through a crisis period in my life where I did. I'd been a Christian. I had spoke. But I went through it wasn't a full-blown depression, but it was a melancholy that hit me. And I went through it about 6 months. And all of a sudden, I found myself doubting, is this all real? Is it a fairy tale? What had happened was, in my weakness, I had meditated on a thought that the enemy had sent, and I had grabbed hold of it and began to think about it. And then I set myself in agreement with it. Doubt came in, and I had to get my... So you know what I went? I just went back to God, and I said, God, I really believe your will, but I keep getting this doubt coming in. And he took me back to two experiences, and he said, I'll prove myself to you. And when he put me back to those two experiences that could not have been coincidence, that could not have been man-made, that there was no possible way, then that took care of it. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't misunderstand me. That enemy still tries to come sometimes on rare occasions. And you know what? As soon as it comes, I'm like, he is God. And I begin to proclaim who he is, and he leaves. So I want you to understand that we're in a warfare. There are thoughts. That is the enemy's ammo, is thoughts. He is continually shooting ammo at you and my minds to try to get us to believe. Because what did he say to Eve? Have God really said? And what did he say to Jesus? If you're really who you say you are, then do something to prove it. Have you ever been in that quandary? You know, I'm an ordained minister of God. And, you know, people think an ordained minister of God, just lay on hands and get him healed, buddy. Yeah. I ain't there yet. You know, we have, worked. Thank you, God. Do you see the little boy who was Darth Vader in the Super Bowl commercial 3 or 4 years ago? You remember he's walking around he's got his Darth Vader costume on. He's walking around going, you know, nothing happens. And he's walking around here and he's going, nothing happens. And he walks over here and he goes, well, Dad comes home and he pulls his car in. He walks up to the car and he's kind of dejected because he's been trying to get his power to work and nothing is happening. You know, it's not working like it's supposed to work, you know. He's walking like this. And then all of a sudden he stops in front of that car and he's just like, okay. And he went, Daddy was watching, though, out of the window. And when the little boy went, Daddy hit the remote and the light came on. The little boy was like, it works, it works, it works. That's called faith. I don't know if you know who Heidi Baker is, but she is a missionary over in Africa. And God had told her, had hands laid on her and prophesied that she would be able to lay hands on the blind and they would see. So when she got back to Mozambique, they have a high degree of blindness and hearing problems over there. So when she got back there, whenever she saw a blind person, she'd just go up to him, and she would go up to him behind. I'm going to come to you. I'd like to use you. And she would do this, and she would pray, and then she would run around in front, and she would go, can you see? Can you see? And they'd go, no. She went through this for over, it was like a year. But she never missed an opportunity to try because God said it would happen, and it was her destiny. She never gave it up. She kept trying, and then one day, she said, if there's anybody blind in the hearing of my word, please come forward. And a lady comes forward, and she goes over to her, and she lays hands on her, and the lady, who was blind from birth, had eyeballs created and began to see. And her name was the identical same name as Heidi's in that language. She went to the next meeting, said the same thing. Another lady came up who had been injured in some kind of an accident and couldn't see. She prayed for her, and the lady could see, and her name was the same as Heidi's name in the other woman. And God said, I've confirmed my word out of the mouth of two witnesses. And she's been able to be gifted with that since then. But she didn't quit. You know, sometimes I get scared when I'm being transparent with you. I don't hide anything back much. You know, I'm being transparent with you. You know, the difference between some of you and some of me is I'm just honest. You know what I'm saying? You're going to learn more from my mistakes and my insecurities than you will ever learn from my successes. You know what I'm saying? And when I say my successes, I mean the success that Christ does through me. But you know, sometimes people, you know, pray for me. And I'm like, oh, okay, God, I'm going to do this. And I'm quoting all the scriptures I can think to quote. Because I'm sweating it. Because I have a prophetic word on me that I'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I've had that prophetic word on me for a long time. And I have seen just maybe a couple instances where I know there's been a dramatic healing that's occurred. And it scares me. Because it's like, what if it doesn't happen this time? What is people going to think? I'm going to make God look bad. But you know what? I have to push myself. Because it's shaky ground for me. Because, see, I'm in process. I'm not there yet. Maybe you are. And I praise God if you are. I thank God that you can. But I'm just not quite to that point yet. But there's other things I can do. And I'll tell you about that here in just a minute. It's important to know, first of all, the voice of our Father, that we are vitally important to the body, and then to be obedient. Know his voice. You know, he says his sheep know his voice, and another, you know, we will not follow. And that takes a process of learning. And let me give you a safety net. Surround yourself with a multitude of counselors, which is maybe two or three people who you trust, who are your sounding board when one of those way out things comes and you're like, oh, I'm not sure about this. These are my multitude of counselors, and I'm part of their counselors. Mm-hmm. We're a prayer group, and we're from different churches, but we meet as a family. I'm adopted. Not legally, but they just adopted me and my husband. and we are each other's sounding boards, and we are each other's. And you know, if Dee says, Savi, I think you need to do this, even if I'm not feeling it, I'm thinking, she has missed this. But because I trust her and I trust God in her, I will be obedient to the word that comes through her because she is part of my protection. And they are with me. You know, and this is what we have to learn to do, is place ourselves in the safety of a multitude of counselors. Excuse me, I've got to have a drink. I'm dry now. Another thing I will tell you to do, stay under a covering, all your coverings. Wives, you have a covering called your husband, okay? If you're not married and you're living at home, you have a covering. It's called your daddy. This does not mean husbands and fathers are more important than us. We are co-laborers with Christ. But God has set it up with that. And thank God, I'm glad. Because you know, before the enemy gets to me, he's got to go through my husband, my pastor, my apostle, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, Father God, and all the angels. I feel pretty daggone special. I really don't want my husband's place. And I don't want my pastor's place. And I don't want my apostle's place. But I do get to stand in as Jesus. But it's his place in me. You see what I'm saying? So stay under your coverings. A lot of us sometimes, when I'm a shouter, you'll hear me every once in a while. If you hear the loud shout, that in a lot of situations is me. But God gave that to me. And when he gave it to me in the church that I was in Assemblies of God Church where my spiritual father was. And I hadn't been going there very, very long. And I just one night, the shout came. And I actually let it out, which shocked me. And then scared me after I did. But my pastor didn't say anything to me. So I'm like, okay, I haven't done anything wrong. I can. And then it began to come every once in a while, the shout. And I don't know, it went on for probably 3 months. And I might, you know, maybe once a service there for a while, I would shout. I think God was just priming the pump. But my pastor came to me after about 3 minutes, and he said, Saber, he said, I want you to withhold the shout. He said, not that you're wrong. He said, I know this is God telling you to do this. He said, but the rest of the congregation doesn't understand what's happening, and you're freaking them out. I have that effect on people. That's Jesus in me. He freaked people out too. And he does the same thing through some of you, you know. And he says, you're freaking them out. So just withhold it. He said, I want to do a little teaching on this. And after I've taught, he said, I'll come back to you and release you, okay? And I'm like, fine. I said, I shout at home too. I'm going to tell you something. If you only do this stuff in church, you might want to go have a talk with Daddy. You know what I'm saying? This is where we get into performing. If we only do this stuff when we come together and somebody else is around, we might be operating under a wrong spirit. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, this, I mean, good gracious. My husband was up on the hill at my mother-in-law's when we were in a crisis situation talking to his brother. And I was down in the garage shouting to the high heavens. And my husband was trying to encourage his brother. And he said, you hear that? And Dwight said, yeah, what is that? He said, that's Saved down there praying for you. And I mean, we're talking a big distance away, which we're not next. We live out in the country. It was a big distance away. Okay? But see, this is a part of who I am. My children, when they were younger, especially if we came from a really anointed service, if I had to stop at the Walmart or the Kroger store or something like that, they would not stay with me. And they would invariably say, Mom, now listen, don't get too excited in there, okay? Don't get too excited in there. Keep it together, okay? You embarrass us. Because by that time in my life, God had got me to such a place so I was beginning to walk into freedom to where it didn't matter so much who was around me because it was such a part of me. Now, I understand. I walk in wisdom. There are times and places to do things. You know, and God, you know, he will not force you into a situation that is against him. He'll force you into, not force you, but he'll lead you into a situation that is against a religious spirit. Oh, yeah, sometimes he will do that because he wants to shake things up to get some people's attention. But more often than not, it's in places that it's accepted or when you're by yourself. So anyhow, what was I talking about? Okay, so my pastor, he shares it with the congregation. I'm dry. This is what Alaska has done to me, folks. You may love it up here, and I love the scenery, but it's drying me out. No, in Jesus' name, I rebuke that. I have all the moisture I need. Yes, I'm just geyser of moisture. Yes, it is. But so he comes back after about 3 minutes, and he says, Sabra, he looked at me, and he said, Sabra, you release that shout. He said, this group of people ain't never going to get it because they don't want to go any further with God. You shout to your heart's content. But see, I didn't get offended. And I didn't feel rejected because I knew he had my heart. He wasn't against me. He wasn't saying I was wrong. He was just trying to bring the body along to the place where I had come to, you know. So I, you know, if you listen, you have to be under authority to have authority. And I will say that especially to us women. There has been more churches torn up over a woman who's truly anointed, but starts acting out of a wrong spirit and starts pushing her own agenda and not following the Spirit of God. If we will wait as women, God will open the doors for our giftings and callings to come out. You have to understand, I was called to preach in a church that didn't believe in women preachers. A woman could not teach any young man above the age of 12. We didn't hold services, and we could have our own separate women's meeting, and we could cook for them, and we could clean the church, and we could even be substitute van drivers, you know, any of that stuff, but anything that was seen or heard, we were not allowed to do. And I was called to preach in it. And my father-in-law and two of my brother-in-laws were deacons in that church, and my husband was raised in that environment, and my father did not believe in women's preachers anyhow. And God speaks to me in my bedroom and says, I've called you to preach. And I'm like, no way! And he literally backed me. The voice of God backed me into a corner, and he said, prove to me in my word where I have not called a woman to preach. And I'm just trying to name off it. But how do you argue with God? I mean, really, come down to it. How do you argue with God? You know? So anyhow, I sat on it, and I finally had to tell my husband. I was scared to death when I told my husband. I knew he was going to kick me out. Or I knew it. I just knew it. And I say he's going to kick me out because you have to know my husband. You don't put him out of anything that he belongs. And this is a good thing in the spirit, because the enemy doesn't put him out of anything that is his territory through God, you know. But anyhow, I love my husband. He's a wonderful man. But when I told my husband that I was called to preach, he looked at me and he said, okay, because he trusted me, because I had never went against my husband, because I had never pushed my own agenda. When I came here, there was a few things that happened. What's my time? Doing good? Okay. Before any of us ladies come here, when Nancy asked us to come and speak at these conferences, the first thing we said is, we're going to pray about it, and then we're going to talk to our husbands. We got the release of God that it was God's will. We got our husbands to say, and we were submitted. If our husbands had said, no, you can't go, we would not have come. Then after we got the blessing of our husbands, our pastor released us, and our, we call him Papa Wolf, Jim, big guy, her husband, Papa Wolf. We had a ceremony where he laid hands on us as his, well, they're biological daughters, and I'm adopted daughter. Before I even had him lay hands on me, I went to my biological father, and I said, Dad, this is what's happened. Will you bless me? And he said, yeah, I will. He blessed me to go. And then we came into the situation, and we are totally submitted to Nancy Haney and anybody who is in her worship team. If they come up to us and say, you know, don't do that, or come here and do this, we're like, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Whatever you want, we're here. This is how we advance in the kingdom. Through, if we humble ourselves, God will raise us up in due season. Too many times we try to push our way through to become this. Do y'all have visions inside? Do you know what your destiny is? Do you have an inkling of what you're called to do? Okay. And do some of you have destinies that have not yet been fulfilled? And maybe some of those destinies are a sense of greatness where you're shaking your head and going, dear God, dear God, dear God. That can't happen, that can't happen, that can't happen. When God says it can happen, it will happen if we will stay connected to Him and obedient to Him. But, you know, coming, this is how we advance. And understand this, advancement is not this. This is worldly advancement. Advancement in the kingdom of God is taking back territory. It's a level playing field. We do it like this. Let me show you. Let me get my sissies because they know this maneuver. We've done this before. God gave me a vision of this early on, and she's the one who started bringing us all together. God gave her the vision for her family to begin to pray for one another, and it has just blossomed into something beautiful. But we started meeting together, and we were, you know, we knew some things, been Christian for a while, but and we had destinies on lives, but we were like, I mean, we were playing in our prayer room because we were having things happen that we had heard about but had never experienced. You know, God shows up and you get thrown halfway across the room and you're like, whoa, you know, you touch the pastor after the anointing's been on you and he goes down and you think, what are you doing on the floor? He's like, don't touch me, don't touch me. And we were playing. And we weren't in a church setting. We were in our private prayer room. This was our women's prayer meeting. But Daddy was teaching us how to use our giftings, okay? Anyhow, this is a vision that God gave me. Okay, here we are, and we're looking at enemy territory, and God is sending us out as an advance team, and there is something that we're going to take back. I had a spouse who was into alcoholism, and we maintained for about 4 years and saw victory and total deliverance. A man who was a terrible alcoholic, you have no idea, and I mean deliverance. He was. My husband is not an alcoholic. My husband was an alcoholic. And they'll tell you, oh, no, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Unless God delivers you, that's a true statement. But my husband's delivered. But anyhow, there we are. And what happens is this. We're all crouched down here. And let's say I take, you know, God's moving me up here in advance, opening up the door for me to go do some prophetic act or go speak somewhere or go spend some time in prayer for a situation. And he moves me up here. And they're just kind of biding their time back there praying, so to speak. They're not moving. They're not doing a lot. Not a whole lot's happening in their lives, so to speak. You know, just the normal, you know, stuff. And then what happens is it's like, okay. And then she goes, and the same thing with her. Now, all of a sudden, I began to rest a little bit because I'm not on the front line. I'm resting, and I'm just in prayer mode, presence mode, meditating on the Word, just that sabbatical type time. And then what she does is this. Call her forth. And then she goes forward, and she starts flowing in. She wrote a book, and she's into prophetic painting now. And then what happens at this is, D, call me forth. Now, I want you three ladies to come here. I'm going to show you something that's happening. God gave me this. You three ladies, come on, you can do this. I have a tendency to pull people out of their seats. I know what it is to be a wallflower and insignificant, but you're going to work this prophetic act with me. And we'll close with this. We had an experience where when we were in Georgia, we were staying with one of the families down there in a home. And it was so God-ordained, and we ended up connecting up with the ladies' prayer group down there that met in the home. And there was three ladies involved with it. And we found out that they were our mirror images in the spirit. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. The two-hour prayer meeting ended up being a four, and we almost was late for the next meeting we were supposed to go to. But we were just, and something that God gave me that I had shared with Nancy, and she said that she had been told this before, but God even sent it back and said, this is for all my body. We are cross-pollinators. We know that fruit trees will not produce if bees don't go and pollinate, and it is a cross-pollination. So guess what happened? We took some of the spiritual pollen from West Virginia, which is on us, in us, and through us, and we coming up here, and we just spraying it all in there right here. You know, this is why I hug so much. I'm cross-pollinating. But then you know what's happening? Because you're putting your arms around me, you're cross-pollinating me, and I'm getting, oh, this is Alaska Holy Spirit pollen. I'm going to take this back to West Virginia with me, and I'm going to start hugging on some West Virginia folks. And then there's a fruitfulness in the whole body. So your work in this area, wherever you are from, is going home to West Virginia with us. And our work in West Virginia in the spirit, the body that's flourishing down there, has been brought up to here to you, and we're both going to prosper and grow as a result of this cross-pollination. But then this is what happens. Come here, girls, my three girls. This is what happens. And this is what we showed the girls. We came down as a prayer team, just, you know, and we had our mirror image times. And then this is what we did. We catapulted them ahead, turned them around, and said, go. Then they crouched down as a group, just kind of grouped there together. Just all three of you, group there together. Just group there together. Okay? And the process starts again. And then God sees your faithfulness and your willingness and your submission. And he says, come on, daughter. I got a work for you to do. I'm releasing you. Go, 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 go. And she begins to do. And then she turns. And this one's called forth. And this one goes forward. And now she gets to have a little bit of a sabbatical. Maybe she's not out doing so much. Maybe it's just a quiet maintaining motive. Maybe just prayer and meditating on the word, but maybe she even feels like she's on a shelf a little bit. But that's okay, because now it's this. Now God's going to flow through this part of the body and begin to use her, okay? Going to begin to use you. And then it's time, it's like, okay, I've seen your heart. I've seen you've been faithful and little. I'm going to make you ruler of much. And here we start again. And this is this process all getting showed again. And then this is what we're doing. There is no hierarchies. And I don't particularly care for this. I mean, I know there's a biblical truth to this. We get lower. But it's more an advancement. We are a body who marches on. We are a body, and we are propelling one another forward. You know, we are, you know, I am with everything that is within me. The Lord is pouring out of me everything that is within me that you will allow to be poured out into you right now. And I am receiving back everything that is within you that you will allow the Spirit of God to pour out of you into me to take back to my place. Because we are a body. We are body. And then when Nancy goes to China or any other places, when she writes that book, it will be filled with the pollen of every place she has ever placed her feet, because we have been those who have pollinated her. Oh, yes, she's Nancy Haney. She's our apostle, prophet, a pastor in some situations, evangelist, teacher. She is. But she's also benefits from contact with the rest of the body, because she does not stand alone. And as she writes that book, she will be writing our story, which is his story, and people's lives will be changed. But what I'm trying to say is you are vital. And you are vital. And there's one scripture I'm going to close with this, because the Lord gave this one to me. Thank you, ladies, for helping me out. I have a tendency to do that, folks. I pull people out. He died for all. This is in 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for all, so that all who live, having received eternal life from him, might live no longer for themselves to please themselves, but to spend the alabaster box that we sung about today. But to spend. Do you realize that every moment we live, we are spending our life? We can never go back and recapture one second of it. It is spent. How many times do we go into the store and we count our money to see how much we can spend? And we think, I'd like to have that, and that's too much, because if I buy that, then I won't be able to get this. And we're cautious how we spend our money, but we just waste our lives on stuff that's not really going to satisfy. I eat because I'm bored sometimes, or because I've always done it. It's not always because I'm hungry and need it. And we do so many other things like that. And then he says, to spend their lives pleasing Christ, who died and rose again for them. For them. You are his pearl of great price. He gave it all for you as individuals. And then he says, so stop evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them or by what they seem to be like on the outside. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, merely as a human being like myself, how differently I feel now. You have no handicaps in the spirit. I have a mama who was diagnosed with a disease 48 years ago that was supposed to kill her in her mid-30s. She had a 6-month-old baby and a 3-year-old daughter, me. And she had seen her sister had the same disease. Her sister went the way of man. Her sister ended up bedridden the last 12 years of her life. She couldn't speak. She couldn't see. She couldn't talk. You would have to dribble water down her throat. She had to have a bag to catch her urine. And there she shriveled up, and all she could do was lay and look out a window that she couldn't see anything but just a few flashes of color. And she was a born-again girl, but there she laid. But my mama had the same disease. My mama had the same disease. She was a sinner at the time that she found this out. And it put her in a tailspin. But when she came to know Christ just a few short years later, my mom, girls can attest to it, you would never know my mom had a disease if you didn't see her, because her conversation is life, joy, happiness, peace, Jesus. He'll do it. It'll work out. The Word of God. My mom, I go up to my mom and dad's house, and I never leave there without us having prayer. My doesn't have the breath to pray a lot of times if she's really, really tired, because she's in a wheelchair and she can barely get around. And she struggles to breathe at times. But she'll get involved in the conversation dad dies having about Jesus, and she'll start quoting the Word of God. And it might take her 5 minutes to get one little verse out, but my dad and I sit quietly and wait for her to proclaim the Word of the Lord, because she has hid that word in her heart. And believe me, when crisis arises in my life, the first place I go to is my mama. And let me tell you, there are pastors in our area who come to my mom and dad's house just to have my mom pray for them. My mother. What good is she in the kingdom? She is of the greatest good because she prays the will of the Father into the earth. And guess what? That's my spiritual heritage. And guess what? Every time they pray for me, I just feel it flow on me a little bit more. So what they gained in the Spirit gets passed down to me. And what I gained in the Spirit gets passed down to my kids. And from their kids, from them, down to my grandkids. And I don't know about you, but I pray into the fourth and fifth generation of my family all the time. They won't even know I existed, but the prayers that God has given me will be answered. And the same for you. I'm not special. I'm nothing special. I'm a daughter of the King, and Jesus died for me. And you are just like me. And let me tell you, the only thing I've learned to do is obey. And sometimes I'm so scared. And Nancy knows this. So I do so many prophetic acts. And sometimes I know what I'm doing and why. And sometimes I'm not sure. I just know I'm supposed to do it. And I'm kind of like, oh, God, if this is wrong, Nancy's going to get me. Oh, God, if this is wrong, my pastor's going to get me. You know? But you know what I do? I step out in best word. Faith, Lord, I am sincere. There's no ulterior motive. I believe this is you. If I'm wrong, forgive me, Lord, and show me, Lord, because I'm in process. I'm learning and I'm growing. Come forth, body of Christ. I want to close with this. I've closed 3 times, but that's pretty good. Third closing. This word came while we were, after I left out of, after I got imparted on. This is Holy Spirit. Come partner with me. Just listen. Yield yourself to me. And all will turn out as I have planned. This is Father's word to all of us. Come partner with me. Just listen. Yield yourself to me. And all will turn out as I have planned. Your destinies, my destinies, will come to pass if we'll just listen and yield ourselves. Yield means obedience. Okay? Sometimes I do strange things. Sometimes I get down and blubber on people's feet and kiss them. And people get uncomfortable. I mean, I pull their shoes off and I'll just kiss their feet. And you may say, why? Why did Jesus make mud and heal to heal a man's eyes? There was no need. But there was a need because he only did what he saw his Father doing, and that's what I see myself doing. So, go with God and be who God created you to be. You're not going to be like me. I don't want you to be unoriginal. You cannot come anywhere near me. But I can't come anywhere near you either. Nor can I come anywhere near you. Because we are all individuals. We are all masterpieces. We are every one of us original masterpieces. We cannot be replaced. We might have some similar giftings, but there's something about us that makes us a little bit unique. And God says, for such a time as this, he allowed us to be born into the earth realm with these giftings and callings upon us for such a time as this. He works through you and I. The kingdom comes through us as we pray and listen and obey our Father.